Trend number one, mass affluence. Are Americans living beyond their means in pursuit of luxury, or has luxury simply become affordable enough for people to enjoy without breaking their budgets? Among the observers who are chronicling America's new affluence are Dinesh D'Souza and Michael Silverstein. D'Souza is a research scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and the author of The Virtue of Prosperity, Finding Values in an Age of Techno-Affluence. D'Souza notes that in 1980, the vast majority of Americans earned less than $55,000 a year. If you made $55,000 that year, you were in the top 5% of income earners. Adjusting for inflation, $55,000 in 1980 equals $75,000 today. But if you want to be in the top 5% now, you need to make at least $150,000. Or consider net worth. In 1980, about 1 million U.S. families had a net worth of $1 million or more. Today, the number of millionaire households in this country exceeds 5 million. And even those who are not millionaires have enjoyed a higher standard of living. The Federal Reserve Board reports that over the past 20 years, the median real wealth of Americans has increased by 25%. And U.S. consumer spending on luxury goods is growing four times faster than their total spending. As D'Souza asserts, these statistics reflect the fact that millions of Americans have reached a standard of living that, in the words of novelist Tom Wolfe, would make the Sun King blink. Indeed, the United States has created the first mass affluent class in world history. More evidence of Americans' affluence is presented by Silverstein, a senior vice president of the Boston Consulting Group and the co-author of Trading Up, The New American Luxury. As he explains, American households have more discretionary wealth available to be spent on premium goods than ever before. Real household income has risen for all Americans over the past 30 years, and it has risen fastest for the highest earners. Income for the top fifth or quintile, defined as households earning over $82,000, has risen nearly 70% in real terms. As a result, those 21 million affluent households control nearly 60% of the nation's discretionary purchasing power. Homeownership has also contributed to Americans' increased wealth. Homeowners, on average, have $50,000 worth of equity in their homes, and the entire pool of U.S. home equity is $7 trillion. At the same time, several other trends have converged to create this unprecedented mass upper class. Record low interest rates drove a refinancing boom that allowed millions of Americans to lower their mortgage payments and increase their discretionary wealth. The generational cycle we've examined several times in Trends is also responsible. Baby boomers have reached their peak earning power, and advances in healthcare and medicine have kept the boomers healthy, active, and eager to spend. It's easy to overlook another source of increased wealth for U.S. consumers, benign deflation. Globalization, technological advances, and streamlined processes have reduced production costs. The rise of discount retailers like Walmart and Costco has brought tremendous savings on everyday items at everyday low prices. With their economies of scale and advances in inventory management, these superstores can pass along significant savings to shoppers, reducing the cost of living on basic goods. Silverstein's research suggests that in 2001 alone, consumer savings on basic goods amounted to $100 billion, all of which was freed up for spending on premium products. As the purchasing power and wealth of Americans spiral upward, at least the upper portion of the vast middle class of the U.S. is turning into a large upper class. They have more wealth and they enjoy more luxuries than any other generation in history. And they are obsessed with acquiring even more products and services, as well as bigger homes. In neighborhoods across the nation, wealthy Americans, fueled by supersized incomes and rock-bottom interest rates, and inspired by visions of living like Donald Trump or Bill Gates, are tearing down modest ranch houses and building brick mansions. The size of the average new home in the U.S. has grown by 130% in just two generations, swelling from 1,000 square feet in 1950 to 2,265 square feet in 2000. And American consumers' spending for products and services for their homes is also surging, from $67 billion in 1970 to $160 billion in 2001. Not content with television sets, they're installing home theater systems with plush theater chairs, high-definition plasma screens, and all the latest gadgets. In the master bathroom, jacuzzis and steam showers are no longer considered luxuries. They're standard equipment in many new homes. In the kitchen, middle-class homeowners have granite counters, restaurant-grade ranges, and sub-zero refrigerators. And when they dream of more luxuries, they're often sleeping on expensive mattresses. One in every five mattresses sold in the U.S. in 2003 cost $1,000 or more, according to the International Sleep Products Association. That's a 33% increase in the proportion of high-end mattresses sold in just 3 years. The phenomenon we're describing is known as trading up among experts on consumer behavior. Middle-class consumers who splurge on luxury items such as a latte that costs $5, a face cream that costs $25 an ounce, or a dog bed that costs $600 are seeking the emotional lift that comes from rewarding themselves or those they love. One expert who has been monitoring this behavior is James Twitchell, the author of Living It Up, America's Love Affair with Luxury. One way to look at it is consumers are idiots, he says. Another way to look at it is that we're quite rational. The reason these seemingly ridiculous products command the prices they do is that when we get near them, we feel powerful feelings. Michael Silverstein believes that high-end products fill a void in people's high-stress lives. As he points out, consumers live today under pressure in terms of time, job, performance, and family. They have turned to goods to help them feel better. Among the businesses that cater to the demand for luxury are Nordstrom in upscale clothes, Panera Bread in casual dining, Williams-Sonoma in high-quality kitchen accessories, and Callaway Golf in advanced golf clubs. Silverstein and his co-author Neil Fisk, the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond, surveyed 2,300 consumers and interviewed hundreds more. Through their research, they discovered that people trade up to satisfy their need for four emotional spaces. The first emotional need is called taking care of me. Feeling that they work too hard and don't have enough time to enjoy their lives, Americans are willing to treat themselves by splurging on a shampoo that costs $12 instead of one that costs $2. Buying expensive cosmetics, kitchen items, home electronics, linens, or spa treatments gives people a way to reward themselves for hard work or to comfort themselves after a setback such as a failed relationship. The second emotional need, connecting, is the emotional drive to form tighter bonds with one's family, friends, co-workers, and significant others. People meet this need by buying home theater systems, expensive pet food, and jewelry. The third need, known as questing, is the longing to try new experiences, sample new foods, and broaden one's horizons. Consumers indulge in expensive vacations, cars, computers, and four-star restaurants to satisfy this need. Finally, the fourth emotional need expressed through trading up is for individual style. Spending in this category is motivated by the desire to show other people that one has unique tastes and doesn't just follow the crowd. Examples include distinctive watches, clothes, imported beers, and luxury cars. According to Silverstein and Fisk, the products that consumers buy to meet the four emotional needs are different than the goods we would once have defined as luxury products. Unlike those old luxury offerings, which were sold in small quantities only to wealthy customers, today's marketers are selling the new luxury products to a wide audience. Silverstein and Fisk analyzed the most successful new luxury goods in more than 30 categories and found that they are all marketed in three basic types. In each category, the products are priced higher than mainstream goods, but they are affordable enough for middle-class customers to buy. Let's explore each of these three types. To market goods in the first type of product, accessible super premium, the company prices its brand as the most expensive in the category. However, because the category is relatively inexpensive, the high price is still within the reach of a middle-class consumer. One example is Belvedere Vodka, which costs about $28. Though most people could easily afford to buy Belvedere, it commands an 88% premium compared to Absolut Vodka. With the second product type, old luxury brand extensions, marketers offer lower-priced versions of their established high-end products. Consider Mercedes, which has built its reputation for quality and prestige on old luxury cars priced up to $300,000 and above for the Maybach model. The company also sells a new luxury model, the C-Class Coupe, for roughly $26,000, which is accessible to many more consumers who are looking to trade up to a Mercedes. And the third product type is called Mastige, short for Mass Prestige. Companies that sell this type of product aim for the sweet spot between mass and class. They target the mass market with premium-priced items. For example, Bath & Body Works body lotion is priced at $1.13 per ounce, compared to Vaseline Intensive Care at 30 cents per ounce. It's not the most expensive lotion, however, as some products like Kiehl's Creme de Coeur sell for $3 per ounce. As Americans' wealth continues to grow and their desire to trade up continues, it's clear that executives of businesses of all types will need to confront this trend. Not long ago, only a few niche companies could afford to target millionaires. There simply weren't enough wealthy consumers to go around. Now that there are 5 million millionaires in America and an entire mass upper class of consumers with money to burn, it would be foolish to overlook this lucrative opportunity. Looking forward, we predict that companies in most consumer categories will have to evolve their business models to address the growing demand for new luxury. We forecast that they will have to choose one of the following three strategic positionings. First, some companies will succeed by becoming the low-cost leaders in their industries. Recall that Walmart and Costco have enabled consumers to trade up to new luxury goods by lowering the costs of everyday retail items. There will always be a strong demand for routine products and services at cheap prices, whether the customers are individual consumers or other businesses. Second, some companies will win big profits by emerging as the new luxury leaders in their product categories. According to research by Silverstein and Fisk, the companies that are becoming new luxury leaders today are using 8 rules for success. 1. They never underestimate their customers. They believe that consumers are smart enough and rich enough to trade up to better products at premium prices. 2. They shatter the price-volume-demand curve. Instead of offering small improvements at incremental price increases, new luxury leaders introduce a quantum leap in quality at a much higher price, and they earn greater profits as a result. 3. They create a ladder of genuine benefits. Rather than offering line extensions that customers don't want, they make real improvements to products that lead to real value for customers. 4. They escalate innovation, elevate quality, and deliver a flawless experience. They understand that today's luxury is tomorrow's commodity, so they keep raising the bar. 5. They extend the price range and positioning of the brand. New luxury leaders often set the highest price in their product line at 10 times their lowest price. In this way, they appeal to customers who want the best at the highest price, while also creating a more accessible entry-level product like the under $30,000 Mercedes model. 6. They customize their value chains to deliver on the benefit ladder. That is, they control the most important parts of the value chain and outsource the parts that others can do less expensively. For example, the brewer of Samuel Adams Premium Beer creates the recipe for its lager, but it buys hops rather than growing them. 7. They use influence marketing and see their success through brand apostles. Studies show that the most loyal 10% of customers create up to 50% of a brand's profits and influence the purchases of other consumers. And 8. They continually attack the category like an outsider. Once they become the market leader, they never stop thinking of ways to change the category to their advantage. The third strategic position will have the rest of the company stuck in the middle, with tragic consequences. Profits will go to businesses that can cost-effectively satisfy the demand either downmarket for the cheapest commodity goods or upmarket for the most unique new luxury products and services. The outlook is not good for firms that can offer neither the lowest price nor the best quality. Companies in this predicament will face 3 options. 1. They can strive to cut their costs through re-engineering, outsourcing, or applying information technology so they can compete at the low end. 2. They can try to innovate to improve the value of their offering by making something that is better, smaller, bigger, faster, smarter, sleeker, or more advanced than anything else at the high end of the market. Or 3. They can aim for the sweet spot we discussed earlier by using the Mastige approach that worked for Bath & Body Works. Companies must try to find the delicate balance between mass and class by offering a premium-priced product that is still priced low enough to appeal to a mass audience.